think about the blood of Christ, it's priceless. You can't put a numerical value on that. And to think that he shed his blood for us, what's that say about us in his sight? That's love. It is love. Colossians chapter 3 tonight. We're going to be breaking from our study tonight in Proverbs. I've been looking at this passage over a period of time, and I believe there's some things that we can draw from this as a church family. We as a church family, we are a family. We are a church family. And we will spend quite a bit of time together throughout the week. We'll spend quite a bit of time together, and we as a church will have things at different times that will surface up, and we will not always be on the same page. We're going to have those times, just as even in your home, you're not always on the same page with your family, your blood family. And by the way, we're still blood family. We're in the blood. We're in the family of Jesus Christ. We've been purchased by His blood. And by the way, that's more of a bond we've come to find sometimes than even what you have with family. Sometimes your brothers and sisters in Christ. But even though at times we're not going to be on the same page as a family in our homes, you know, at times in the house of God, being a part of a church family, at times you will not be on the same page. And this being our Sunday night crowd, I thought I would visit this text. I believe it would help us all. It would help us as a church family, when these times arise and we are on different pages. Because we should be one big, happy family. That should be our goal. Just as in your home, you should be one happy family. Just as when you get together with your relatives, your distant relatives, the ones that maybe even you haven't even seen in a while, you don't want to go there and have dysfunction. You want to go there and you want to be one big happy family. We want to be excited to see one another, missing each other when they're gone, unified. In Colossians 3:13, it really breaks down some things for us. And this is where we're going to spend our time tonight. I did not get testimonies, but I think I'm a little bit too late into that at this point. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And I'll read verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this evening, we want to thank you for this time that we have once again in your house. And I ask you, Lord, to bless this time. I ask you, Lord, to give me the words that you would have me to say. We sit here today, a church family. We've been bought by your precious blood, and we are a church family. And we ask you, Lord, to give us some things tonight, myself included, as we seek to come into your house and gather, that we can be that one big, unified, happy family that you would like for us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Forbearing, we're going to look at verse 13. The word forbearing, it means ceasing, pausing, withholding from action, exercising patience and indulgence, a ceasing or restraining from action, patience, long-suffering. This is hard for us. Forbearing is hard for us. I found at different times being in the ministry, this will happen. We will disagree. We will not agree on everything. I may not even be the corporate of it, but you and your discussions with other folks within the church, you may not be on the same page about something. It will happen. We will not always agree on everything. And sometimes you can find out sometimes that maybe all in a span of just a little bit of time, you have multiple things going on of disagreements. It can happen in a church. It will happen. We are all different. But tonight is what you and I must both do when we're on different pages And first off, we have to forbear one another. There's still one leader, but we must forbear one another. It's important to remember and think on this. If we click with others, then we don't necessarily have to forbear them. It's not necessarily work, because we click with them. We're on the same page. There's unity. You can only forbear with those who would perhaps irritate you. Now, we all have different personalities. All it takes for somebody to irritate you is to have the personality that you don't have. That's all it takes. And that's not a whole lot. It's really not. That's not a whole lot at all. They have a personality that differs from yours. And when that's the case, I mean, that you're looking at the whole person. Their whole self, that's their personality, that's who they are. So it's not very hard at all to recognize components in a person's personality that would irritate you, that would frustrate you. We all have different personalities. My personality will frustrate you at times, and sometimes your personality is going to frustrate me. But that is a part of being a family, that's a part of being different. And we have to learn how to deal with one another in these cases. Have to forbear. Or we learn to forbear with those who do things that we would not do. Or in a way that we would not do them. We see this a lot out in the world, sadly, at times, even in Christian circles. Instead of forbearing in the workplace, I can't tell you the amount of people I know that quit a job over something. Instead of just forbearing whatever it was that was going on. Something happened. They weren't there 2 weeks. Wasn't there a week. And something happened. They quit. Got to learn to forbear. It's going to be a long road if you don't learn how to forbear. Instead of forbearing, sometimes people in the church they may not like, they leave. Or want the one that irritates them to leave. Instead of forbearing people, they run. They're not long-suffering. They suffer one time and gone. Suffer one time, then they may be done with you. Maybe they write you off. It's not scriptural to avoid being long-suffering, to avoid forbearing by running from the opportunity all the time to practice it. Also add, in order to forbear and be long-suffering towards others, you also have to have injustices come your way. You're going to have things happen to you for you to overlook. In order to become better at it, it's going to take practice. So when people give you a reason to forbear them, just view it as something that will help you perfect what God has already told you to do. So don't think you're good at this if you're only including your friends. It's easier to forbear your friends and family. How about those who you don't like? Are you forbearing with them? That's the true test of our forbearing. That's the true test of our long-suffering. Those that we don't particularly like, and we all have people that we don't particularly like. We all have folks that may get on our nerves. We all have people who may be of a different personality than we are. How do you handle them? That's the test of your forbearance. It goes on to say forgiving one another. It's taking it a step further here. Not only should you forbear those that you're on a different page with, not only should you forbear those that you're in disagreement with, but you should also, if it's sin in their life, forgive them for whatever it is that they've done to you. So not only should you cease, pause, withhold from action by exercising patience and indulgence, which means they don't even have to know that they did something, but you should also forgive them. Forgive means to pardon, to remit, as an offense or debt, to overlook an offense, and treat the offender as not guilty. The original and proper phrase is to forgive the offense, to send it away, to reject it, that is, not to impute it. Put it to the offender. Matthew 6:12, if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Again, this takes it a step further. Because how many times do we withhold our response from someone? We cease to take action, which at times that is good. And then there's times you need to take a stand. You need to fight for something. And then there's times where, and I believe the Holy Spirit will lead, then there's times where, you know what, something's going to happen and you need to just let it roll. You need to just let it slide. We all have to do that. But how many times do we withhold our response from someone, but we hold it over someone's head within our hearts and our minds, what they did? Forgiveness is, at times, somewhat easy at the first offense. The first time. Forgiveness gets harder the more times it happens. Sometimes we want to say, I'm not going to forgive you because it's just going to happen again. Now, I understand our flesh may want to say that. Our flesh may want to feel that. But we should forgive people. We don't always go to people that have hurt us and tell them that we forgive them for what they've done, but we will carry a heart of either forgiveness or unforgiveness with us. It's important to remember here, those who do you injustices time and time and time again, these people are outliving their life. It's important to remember, if they had any decent thought of you, that for one, they wouldn't treat you this way. But since they do not genuinely care about the way they treat you. Nor do they think they need your forgiveness, or else they'd ask you for it. So you are to forgive them because it is not only right, but because forgiveness is for two people. The offender and the one who has been offended. It is for the offender, even though they do not desire it or they'd ask you. But it's also because those who harbor unforgiveness against you will end up in turn treating them the way they treated you. So it's also for you in three ways. By you forgiving the offender, you're not carrying the weight for one. Two, you will in turn treat them badly because you harbor unforgiveness. You're at odds with them. And thirdly, unforgiveness leads to bitterness. And bitterness leads to rebellion. That's not in my notes, but it does. Bitterness leads to rebellion, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So, I mean, it all just cycles right in together. It's not something to play with. It's not something to mess with. It multiplies the hurt. It multiplies the harming effects. The devil loves the more destruction. That was the cause, his tool that he has used. And at times we're lying in despair from it, and he loves that. The devil don't want you walking on your own 2 feet for God. He wants you crawling around playing victim. He wants you crawling around playing hurt. He don't want you standing up spiritually tall for God. He doesn't want that. You must forgive. Forgive's not to necessarily forget. We're not perfect with that. God is, where we're going to look at the way God forgives, but we're not perfect like that. It's going to pop back up in our heads. And when it does, we just have to decide what we do with it. But it's amazing about God's forgiveness, and we're going to look at that when we get a little bit further down. God's forgiveness, he'll remember it never again. It won't pop in his head ever again. It's over with. It's done. He forgave you for it. That's amazing to me. When we'll look at how Christ forgives, Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Now just think about that. God meets the unrighteous with mercy. Same way he met us in our unrighteousness with mercy. And their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. Aren't you thankful that when God met you in your unrighteousness with his mercy, your sins and your iniquities, he will remember no more. Hebrews 10:17, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Jeremiah 31:31 through 34. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Well, look at the word remember. Remember means to have in the mind an idea which had been in the mind before and which recurs to the mind without effort. It just pops up. You put no effort into thinking about it, but there it is. So sometimes, if anything, we put effort into not thinking about something. God, unlike us, once he has forgiven, the remembrance of our sin is not there. And what happens with us is the devil and our flesh will make sure of it, is that when something has been done to us, and it doesn't matter how long it's been since whatever this was happened, the devil and our flesh will bring this injustice to our remembrance. And if we've truly forgiven them, what we should do is cast down that thought and cast out that remembrance. I had to learn this because there was some things that I had to forgive in the Marines. Pretty much everything I told you I had a hatred for, I ended up having to forgive them because I hated them because there was stuff there. So I had to forgive them for what was there. And then the Lord took care of the hatred that I had. I mean, you go to war, you have an enemy, you come back, And all of a sudden, they're what, not supposed to be your enemy no more? I don't know. I didn't know anything about that switch. I didn't know anything about that. As far as I was concerned, I was going to hate them till the day I died. But God had different plans. He didn't want that, because you know what? That consumed my passions. It really did. It consumed my passions. The hatred consumed my passions. And you know what? The devil would constantly remind me. Sometimes he still does. And I got to cast down those thoughts. I got to cast down how I used to feel. Because the devil wants to remind me how I used to feel about it. And if he can get me thinking about how I used to feel about it, I'm not too far from feeling that way again. Now, one thing about forgiveness is we can forgive and unforgive just like this. It don't take much. We can forgive somebody and then get to thinking about it. I take it back. I take my forgiveness back. I done thought about it too long now, and now I take it back. That's how we do. We know that when we dwell on injustices, old feelings can come back. And because we're human, again, we can forgive and unforgive someone 1,000 times, depending on how severe the harm was to us. So since we're not God and we cannot decide, I will no longer remember, we must decide that when we do remember, that we dismiss it because we forgave them for it. If I had to guess what sins plagued the church of the living God, I would say these: pride, unforgiveness, bitterness. They're all closely related. It goes on to say, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Any man, it doesn't matter who they are. Any means all means all. Have a quarrel. A quarrel means a brawl or a petty fight or scuffle against any. Again, any means all and all means all. Whoever you are and whoever they are, if you have a squabble, forgive one another. You got to do it. You got to forgive one another. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I think this verse here is great. It's a great challenge. Even as Christ forgave you, it don't matter who it is or what they've done to you. It's important to be reminded they've not done to us what we've done to our Savior. It was our sin why he had to come. It was our sin that nailed him to the cross. It was sinners like us that shouted, "Crucify him." His blood is on the hands of sinners, but it is by those stripes that we're healed. And it is by that blood that we have remission of our sins. And in light of this forgiveness, what has someone done to us that we cannot forgive them for? It says, "So also do ye." I'm glad we serve a forgiving Savior. I'm glad when we confess. I'm glad when we go to him. We humble ourselves. We go to him. And we say, "Lord, forgive us. Forgive us of our sins." I'm glad he does. And I'm glad he's God and not us, because we're not like that. Matthew chapter 18. We'll look at verses 21 through 35. Verses 21 through 35. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?'" Now, isn't that a question that we would ask? We're no different than Peter. He probably dealt with some stuff. He was probably, who knows, his mind was probably turning, thinking about stuff, probably thinking about some stuff, who knows, that might have happened to him. Somebody might have did to him. And he asked this question, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Now, that'd be getting off pretty easy, wouldn't it? Because most people that we have issue with, they've trespassed us a whole lot more than seven times. Seven times, they'd probably be our friend in that case. But no, they've trespassed more than that. That'd be getting off easy. "Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon and was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents, but for as much as he did not, as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that, he called upon him and said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?' And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." We have a story here of a man that owed a debt. He was forgiven of that debt. A debt that I might add would sum up to my research, millions in today's currency. Then he went out, found a debtor among his servants that owed a quarter of an annual wage at that time, and refused to forgive him of his debt. And when his Lord found out about this, we saw in verse 30, 34 and 35, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And I begin to think, now why would our Savior also be wroth with us for our lack of forgiveness? I begin to think about it. Our debt to him was huge. He forgave us. He paid the debt that we could not. And we accept his forgiveness, then we go about our way, and injustices come our way, things happen, things come our way, petty and small in comparison to our debt that has been paid in full, and we refuse to forgive. Then God will rain down on us. Verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Forgiveness can be hard, depending on what it is, depending on what it was that happened. I was dealing with somebody about a year ago, somebody I knew, someone I went to school with, a former missionary, one that we don't support. But he was back here in the mainland, here in the U.S., and his wife was back on the field. He was working on getting visas and stuff, and got a Facebook voicemail from her that she was leaving him. That she was done. She wanted a divorce. He's still broken. He's got to forgive her. Talked to him a few times since then. There's a little bit of bitterness there. Things are going to happen that are outside of our control. I've not been in that situation. I tried to tell him the best I could from the Bible. He's going to have to forgive. Marriage ruined, ministry ruined, dropped by the mission board, dropped by supporting churches, sits back with a call to preach and don't have a direction. Hard thing to forgive. But the thing is, we withhold our forgiveness at times because we dislike someone to the point that we refuse to forgive them. But what we don't even realize is that self-inflicting ourselves more so than we are the person that has brought the offense upon us. When you don't give forgiveness, you're carrying unforgiveness. Forgiveness is a burden that has been lifted. Forgiveness is the burden of unforgiveness being lifted. And unforgiveness is a burden. It is. It's a heavy burden. And it can control your whole life. If you've not forgiven someone or something tonight, forgive them. As Christ has forgiven you. Nothing that anyone has done is severe enough to top our transgression to Christ and what we have afflicted upon him. I do believe in just about every area, if we could be reminded of who we are, if we could be reminded of who we are, if we could be reminded of who we were 24/7, just to be reminded of it, I think we'd be humble. I think we'd be more loving. I think we'd be more genuine. I think we'd be more sincere. We'd be more compassionate if we just stayed reminded of who we are in the presence of God, who he is and who we are. Just to stay reminded of that. Stay reminded of who God is and stay reminded of who we are, that he's something and we're nothing. Amen. And if he could forgive us and me, a bunch of nothings, we can forgive our peers. We can forgive our equals. If God could do that for us. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you, I want to thank you, Lord, for taking my place, taking our place on the cross. I thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. I'm thankful, Lord, that even on the days when I remember what I used to be, that you remember it no more. And I thank you and I praise you for that. Ask you to help us tonight, Lord. Help us in the area of forbearance. Help us, Lord, in the area of forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.